Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Bus Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Peaky Blinders Season 6, Episode 5, The Road to Hell, and Season 6, Episode 6, Lock and Key.
We are on the road to hell. Yes, yes, we are. Oh, this is, yeah, we are on the downslope with Peaky Blinders Season 6. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there for sure is going to be cursing because we're on the road to hell. And I don't know about spoilers. I mean, we know the movie is coming up. They've got some photography out for that. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I went and treated myself to lunch, and I brought back with me some root beer. So,
Okay. Well, root beer, I guess there's an argument that that's British in some way.
No, I just wanted root beer.
Well, I have reverted to Irish whiskey. Why? Because that's where Tommy is these days. So yeah, it is Jameson's. It is a kind of a reserve Jameson's whiskey for the last of Peaky Blinders. So are we ready to roll?
All right. Season 6, Episode 5, The Road to Hell. This is not going to take long. Tommy goes to settle things with the people who sold Arthur opium under duress. Tommy has the guy bring him his remaining opium and gives a speech about how he is no longer allowed to sell opium. He blows up the opium. There is a family meeting. Finn got married to a girl named Mary. In parentheses, I put irrelevant.
Tommy, no one remembers her name, including Tommy.
Tommy introduces his son, Duke, also kind of irrelevant. Arthur is tasked with bringing him into the business. Duke can pick pockets well. You'd think that would come in at some point. Nope, not really. Tommy meets with Linda and asks about forgiving Arthur, and she says no. he tries to pay her off for her to help Arthur, and she's like, yeah, sure. At the Liverpool docks, Tommy talks to the guy who was skimming opium. He says there's going to be an arms importation and shifting his supply line to Liverpool instead of Belfast while working with Boston. Yep. Arthur and Finn talk to Billy, the football guy who gave them away and essentially killed Polly. But they don't know that yet. Tommy and Lizzie have sex. All right.
They're in bed. Tommy regrets marrying Lizzie, things like that.
Yeah. And he put her through so much and all that stuff. He tells her he loves her, and she gets upset that he never lets her in. Big shocker. Arthur, Arthur and Du Bois try to blackmail a referee into working for them, but the guy isn't afraid of them, so that doesn't really work out very well for him. Arthur forces Billy to kill the referee with a garrote. Duke gets freaked out. Billy gets threatened by Jack Nelson in like a shower thing, Jack Nelson knows that Billy was the informant.
Billy's the football guy, for those of you who are
not the football guy, sorry.
He puts a garrote around his penis.
His balls, to be precise. He wants Billy to give up Arthur when they go after Tommy. Linda meets with Arthur. Duke wants to leave, and Tommy tells him he's his father. Didn't we already cover that in the pub? I guess not.
I do want to note that Jack Nelson kind of lays out his entire plan. He has his associates are going to take care of Tommy. He wants the football guy to give up Arthur, and the Italians will be taking out the rest of the Shelbys, according to him. Whatever. The kid, Duke, is brought to Tommy about stealing, correct? Is that where you are?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. And he says that he didn't steal from Tommy. And so, Tommy's basically saying, look, you can't be stealing. You steal from any of us, you're stealing from me, blah, blah, blah. But he takes him to Charlie's yard and says he can stay there and make himself useful because, I guess he's good with horses and whatever other things that they think are important. Mosley's girl meets with Tommy, wants to have sex.
Diana.
Tommy wants help with establishing a trust. in Birmingham, the girl just wants to have sex with Tommy. And she says that it is harder to lie with your body than with words. They have vigorous sex. The girl acts like
Vigorous.
yeah, well, the girl acts like this is standard practice for the English aristocracy. We then see Tommy's hallucinating the tunnel again. He's into the bathroom and whatever. They see the sequence with Polly and Michael, and then in real time, Michael is awakening in jail. He hears Polly again talking about there's to be a war. You know, that same loop.
A war. Sorry.
Yeah, a war. Lizzie and Tommy get ready to go out.
Sorry, that was a really stupid reference.
Lizzie is upset that Tommy has changed the combination to the safe. Tommy says, you know, sorry, it's stuff you aren't allowed to know about. He is now on painkillers or on different painkillers, and she wants him to stop. The dinner is with Jack Nelson. Tommy says that he's going to be going to Canada, and that supposedly in this venture, Michael's going to have Tommy's back. In what universe does anyone believe that shit? I just don't.
None.
Whatever. Okay. But the plan is for Tommy to get $5 million for delivering opium to Canada that will then go into Boston. A car then comes up during the middle of this dinner. A car rolls up to the house, and it's Mosley and the girl.
And Diana.
Yeah, well, she's irrelevant. They want to celebrate with Jack. It's the last time we'll be together, or some kind of bullshit. The girl is not subtle about, hey, I screwed Tommy, and she basically is just awful to Lizzie until Lizzie starts crying and leaves. Mosley says that Tommy needs to get a different wife with a better pedigree if he's going to like run in their circles. Tommy tells them that they're all fuckers and Lizzie is not, which, you know, that's about as good a defense as he can possibly give for Lizzie, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, you're
In the
she's better than a
background,
Nazi.
yeah, in the background, we hear one of the worst versions of Red Right Hand. Now,
I agree with that. I also can I do this last little part?
well, can I just make one other note about that? It is possibly better, not much, than that girl punk version that we had with the labor girl from.
No, it's not.
It's
It's
bad.
not
It's really
better. It's not better. It's worse than
It's
that
bad.
one.
Okay.
I the next thing is the Boston prison. I wrote down, can anyone walk down the Boston prison hallway at a normal speed?
No. That is no.
Nelson asks Michael via messenger if he will kill Tommy, and he says yes. And that's the end of the episode. Best parts, Tommy trying to change things, and they finally use Arthur for anything. So,
Yeah, best parts for me. And I failed to mention Arthur because he's still underutilized and he's so fucking good. But my best part was Tommy actually owning that he's awful. That was it. That was all of it. What were your worst parts?
Not a lot of fanfare. This is the second to last episode of the series, and what are we doing? Something that probably should have been the first episode of this season, but no. No, apparently. Them killing the referee. What? Oh, yeah, I didn't like that at all. A lot of random plot lines that could have lasted all season, but happened now.
I have to agree with that. This was
Like the
not a
stuff with
well-planned scene.
Duke, like, I mean, I don't really care about Duke at all, but like, if you're going to have him come in, why are you doing it at the very last second? Like, that's so stupid. And
Yes.
then it, like, if you're going to set up like a spin-off or like a legacy show or something like that with Duke in the Peaky Blinders, like, that's, again, you should have set him up earlier this season. So I don't care. And also, like, the stuff with Arthur and Linda could have been all season, but no, I don't fucking care. Duke, I don't care about him at all. And the fact that it had to be revealed to him twice that Tommy is his father. Like, I could have sworn Tommy said that in the middle of the pub in the middle of the day, and he was present. And
Yeah,
so I
he did.
cannot believe that it was like, but I'm your father, Duke. And he's like, huh? I was like, huh? What do you
Yeah, it's like he doesn't believe it, but then if he says it a different way, he does. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yes. And screwing Diana. I don't care about Diana.
Yeah, I didn't use her name, but she was my very first worst part, was girl. Jack, I hate.
Girl.
Not enough Arthur. That is actually something I wrote down. Not enough Arthur. Too many montages and Michael, because I just despise.
Oh yeah, Michael. He did not
I
make
hate
it. He's so
Michael.
irrelevant.
There we go. So
Michael.
here we are, the last episode of his
Overall
entire.
grade, mother.
Oh, all right. Fine. My overall grade was a C. What was yours?
C plus, I guess. Like there were some okay ideas in general, but they should have waited. They shouldn't have waited this long to do it. It's the second last episode. But now is the last episode of Peaky Blinders ever. Season 6, episode 6, Lock and Key. Oh, great.
I can say this about this episode. Okay, so that last episode, I had maybe 2 pages of notes, maybe. And I've got like 4.5 pages of notes. That tells you how much they tried to cram into this last episode of this entire series. And it's like, come on, people, you could have done a better job with.
Also an hour and 20 minutes.
But we had like long montages of stupid gypsy shit earlier in this season. It's like, come on, this is pathetic. My
Michael
opinion.
gets released from prison. Seriously, no one can walk down that hallway at a normal speed. Tommy talks to Lizzie, who is upset about him sleeping with Diana,
On.
justifiably.
Michael is released and he says he wants revenge. So clearly he is not on board with I'm going to protect Tommy. Proceed.
Well, we already knew that. At the end of the last episode, he said he was going to kill Tommy. We
Yeah.
already know this, mother. Tommy, we're not stupid. Tommy is in can is going to Canada. Lizzie is leaving him, thank God. Tommy says goodbye to Charlie and talked to him about Lizzie leaving. I forgot his son existed for a minute, and has he not aged? Question mark. Charlie says he'd rather stay with Lizzie because she's more of his mom than Tommy is his dad. Ouch. But true. Tommy lets him go. Ouch. But true. Duke is taken to the armory and Uncle Charlie questions his abilities. Duke says he's killed a man, so he's like, okay, then you're good enough then.
He talks about the
Tommy.
different weapons he's used, pistol, shotgun, rifle. And they're kind of okay with it. And Arthur has concerns about the kid.
Well, Tommy talks to Arthur about his diagnosis, and Tommy wants to take care of everyone financially and then let himself go alone. Arthur tries to find him about it, but fails and is sworn to secrecy. Tommy says that when the time comes, he'll call Arthur. Tommy then meets with the Blinders about him going to Canada. Tommy tells them to clean out Arrow House, which is his
Can I say one
mansion.
other thing about this conversation between Tommy and Arthur?
It's well acted,
I
yeah.
have in all caps, Paul Anderson has been wasted this whole season. He is
I
so
told you
good.
that
I
episodes
know, but
ago.
he's so good in this scene. And again, you get back to why it is that people actually like give a fuck about Tommy. Why, and he's like, I can't take this over for you. I cannot take your place. You can't leave. And this is unacceptable. And so it's interesting. So they then go to the garrison, they meet up, and Finn brings the football guy in.
Yes.
Charlie arrives with Duke, and Duke says he is quote unquote okay about it, though we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
So Tommy says something in Romani, so he keeps speaking in the gypsy language.
And Finn picks up on some of it.
Yeah, right. Finn doesn't know it as well, though. And that's, again, one of those signs that Finn's not really like one of them.
Which, what, this could have been something. But no, we can't give Finn anything. But then again, they gave Finn something last season and I didn't like it,
Well, and you're not gonna like the rest of this episode. So Tommy
I
has
thought
to,
was my straw.
Tommy says, Tommy has to go away to get payment. Johnny Dogs and Michael are going to be there. He wants people he can trust to remove stuff from his house. So this is his plan. They're going to have a party with all of the great wine he has in his cellar. They're going to be digging up the bodies on his property so that they don't get caught doing other stuff. And in this meeting, the football guy is there, Billy. And he uses Tommy's first name, and Tommy does not respond to him. You can tell, like, you have crossed the line, dude. That was a mistake. And so he finally says, Mr. Shelby. It's like, yeah, okay. The party is to be on Sunday. And the footballer is like wanting to know like some very specific things. And it's really pretty obvious. Hi, I'm an informant.
I sold out your family.
Yeah. We then see Gina and Michael. It's postcoital, whatever. The phone is ringing. Michael tells her not to answer, but she answers anyway. She gets a message from, and she says it's from their informant in Birmingham, reporting to her, who is saying that Arthur is going to be killed in a drive-by, and it's going to be at the same time that they're going to kill people at Tommy's house. So Gina says that they have to kill Arthur. Arthur has to die too. And Michael's kind of like, no. And then he's like, okay. Gina also wants to kill all of the males, basically. Michael doesn't want to kill anyone other than Tommy, but then he's like, all right, just Tommy and Arthur. And Gina's clearly not listening. She's already got plans, and she's got plans with Jack Nelson and Mosley and all that. Tommy knows. He meets with the girl who wants to fuck him in the House of Parliament. He says he knows about several aristocrats' houses being in foreclosure. Mosley comes in and says, oh, you're invited to our wedding, because he's going to be marrying this girl, but you can't touch her or I'll kill you. Mosley wants Parliament to be completely destroyed, and he's looking forward to that. That's, of course, the fascist plan. We then cut to Miquelon Island, which is the island in Canada where we had begun the season. Michael arrives with a bunch of Boston thugs. There is clearly a bomb in a bag that they are very concerned that it's going to just freaking go off on its own.
It's not a good bond
It's not, but these people
then.
don't know what they're doing. Hey, were they in the war? No, they were not. So, because Arthur wouldn't fuck up that shit. Tommy, Alfie Solomons, these
Johnny
people,
Dogs,
Johnny
absolutely
Dogs, they
not.
wouldn't be fucking up this
Speaking
shit.
of
But
Johnny Dogs, he shows up later.
he does show up later. Oh, he's again underutilized. Love him.
You took way more detailed notes than I did. I zoned out so many times. And
Yeah, so.
the sad thing is, I kept checking the time bar, and it was always like 40 minutes almost until I was done. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, we're
But
not fucking kidding,
yeah.
because there's way more to do. Isaiah and the boys show up at Tommy's house. And Michael and the thugs, there's like montages of these things going on. There's a discussion between Michael and the people at that same bar that we had seen earlier about how they were meeting someone who's coming in on a plane, but the plane's going to crash because there's a big snowstorm. And we then see Tommy is on a plane having flashbacks to Polly and the tunnel and all the things. The boys at Tommy's house are awaiting the arrival of football dude. Arthur arrives at the garrison, which is, of course, where he's supposed to be, subject to the drive-by shooting that we've heard from Gina. Finn is pissed that he was not in on the party, the thing at the house. Michael knows that Tommy is arriving, and he goes to retrieve the bomb and set things up. The IRA woman shows up to the garrison and checks her watch, because again, everything is all supposed to be like synchronized. They set the bomb in Canada and put it in the boot of a car. Duke cuts the footballer. Finn is upset because Arthur wants Duke to do it, and Finn's like, but he's my friend. And so they give the gun to Finn and tell him to shoot the footballer, and he won't do it. The gun's empty. Duke then kills the footballer. It's a really pretty awesome shot.
Well,
Like,
to
great.
be clear, Finn turns the gun on Duke and
Everybody
tries to
else.
shoot him.
Yeah, and
And
Isaiah.
that's when he realizes the gun is empty, or the first two are empty. Thank God Uncle Charlie was like, leave the first two empty.
Yeah, and so Duke gets the gun away. Footballer tries to get away, and Duke kills him, shot between the eyes. Duke tells Finn to walk away by order of the Peaky fucking Blinders. Finn says, "I'm gonna come for you," and we're all kind of like,
Yeah, you're
"Okay, no, you're fucking
fucking
not."
not.
Although that might be the plot of the movie, don't know.
Highly doubt
The
it.
IRA go to the garrison.
Well, actually, maybe.
This sequence is actually really very good. It's just so
fucking long.
It is long. It's not well edited, but it is good. So the IRA go to the garrison. The phone rings. The bar is empty. One of the IRA people takes the phone off the hook. They think that Arthur is in the little vestibule or smaller area where the Shelbys usually drink, but it's actually Charlie who is in there as a decoy.
Charlie's being involved in this. He never gets involved.
I know. It's so good. Arthur gets the drop on the IRA woman, and they kill some of the people inside. Then they start going outside, but there's a sniper set up outside. The IRA woman sees blood on the ground because Arthur gets shot, and he gets shot in the shoulder or arm or something. And so he's having to sneak around, but he has this counter plan that we didn't expect, which involves mustard gas. And so he has a mask, and so does Jeremiah and Charlie, and they all have masks. They pull out mustard gas, and Arthur starts opening fire with a machine gun. Yay, go Arthur. He's so amazing with the machine gun. Paul Anderson's awesome. He kills the IRA woman, and he says, it's for Polly. Rest in peace, Polly. That does take a really long time. It's a lot of dodging around in the fog and stuff like that. But
there's also a random child
at one point. Yeah, there's a bunch of random stuff in there. It is suspenseful, but it goes too long. Tommy approaches the bar in the fog. He orders a whiskey. Ta-da, whiskey. He goes to get in. They go to get in the cars. Michael says that they're going to go in the cars. And of course, one of them has the bomb and the boot. And Michael is like, oh, I forgot my cigarettes. Like, how fucking obvious are you? Like, he's in the same car with Tommy. Tommy's in the passenger seat. Michael's in the driver's seat. Michael's like, oh, I forgot my cigarettes. He goes back into the bar, takes off his hat, pours himself a whiskey, takes off his gloves, all the shit. And then there's this giant explosion we see outside the bar. And Michael says, Mom, it's done. Like, he thinks he's actually taking care of Tommy. But no. Tommy's actually fine. Tommy has a gun. Michael comes out. Tommy holds Michael at gunpoint. And we find out that Johnny Joggs switched the bomb into the boot of the other car. Johnny tells Michael goodbye. Michael says, it's all Tommy's fault about everything. And then Tommy shoots Michael.
Is it though?
Yay! I'm sorry. Michael's dead. Are we?
I'm so happy. So, it's so long though. Yes. Alfie Solomon shows up. They talk about how Tommy's dying. And Tommy then returns to Birmingham and blows up his house. Yep. He's making room for new housing for the less fortunate. Good for him. Tommy says he's going away soon. They're at it looked like a Mad Hatter tea party picnic kind of thing. I don't know why it gave me that vibe, but it gave me that vibe. the long table and everyone's around them. Tommy says he's going away soon. He appoints Ada to run for a seat in parliament if it is available. He knows it's probably going to be available by next election because he thinks he's going to die. And Arthur left a note with Linda saying he'll be with Tommy soon, which should concern him more than it does. He just kind of lets it go and doesn't check up on Arthur, who has been known to be suicidal in the past. Yeah. But he's fine. Sure. Okay. Ada catches on. So she is what the fuck are you up to, Tommy? And she's don't worry about it. 1 month later, Tommy lives alone in a caravan in the mountains. He repairs his caravan for the burning of his body with all of his artifacts.
Yeah.
And pictures of Grace, pictures of his kids and stuff like that. He's about to shoot himself.
He says it's midwinter.
Yeah, he really is prepared. He's about to shoot himself when he hears his daughter Ruby's voice, his dead daughter, who tells him he's not even sick. Okay, yeah, definitely listen to Ghost Ruby on that point. This hallucination really will help you. He sees that his doctor works with Mosley, I think he sees that in like a paper or something like that.
Right. So what he sees in the paper, there is an announcement of Mosley's engagement with a picture of their wedding in Germany. And Dr. Guy is in that picture.
He's next in the wedding party.
Yeah, he's in the wedding party.
And so I would just love to know why.
What kind of Nazi shit was going on at that wedding?
Well, not just that. I was more thinking about how, like, so did Mosley put him up to it? Because if so, why would he want him to think that he's dying? Like, that's stupid. Like, you should know that Tommy's just going to kill himself. But
right. But that's the plan, is they want him to kill himself. And he even says that in this next sequence.
Oh, fuck me, I guess. I really was not paying attention.
All right, so this is what happened.
He confronts his doctor. Mm-hmm. Tommy doesn't kill him. Someone burns the caravan. Tommy rides off on a horse.
Right, but the thing you miss when he's talking to the doctor is, like, you all believed. Because you couldn't kill me. You weren't able to do it. You just wanted to make sure that somebody did, and the only person who could do it was me. So you mm-hmm. set up this situation where I would kill myself. Well, you're wrong. We're at the 11th hour. It's the armistice. Peace at last. He fires.
I mean, they weren't exactly wrong, were they? You were about to.
True. The wagon is burned. It's a symbol of his rebirth, and he rides away. And that's the end of the series. And we got Irish whiskey for that. So what were your best parts of this episode?
Lizzie leaving Tommy. It's about damn time. I don't care about her as a character, but she deserved better. Mm-hmm. The acting, Tommy and Arthur scene, Johnny Dogs, and Tommy killing Michael.
Yeah, Tommy, I think generally, I think him, you know, figuring stuff out eventually is a good thing. Death of Michael absolutely is great. The killing of the IRA woman I thought was great. Justice for Polly. Johnny Dogs and Arthur, I think all were great in this episode. What are your worst?
I think Justice for Polly as well for me. Worst parts, fake diagnosis. What the fuck? I mean, obviously you want to keep it open for like other things, but Jesus. Gina. Major moments for non-major characters like Duke and Finn.
Yes.
Like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, Finn, who has not really been in this season at all, or really most seasons for that matter, is, and like, he doesn't even find out that no one except for Nelson truly finds out that, Finn never finds out that Billy betrayed them. So, why would he, what? Like, not a lot of callbacks.
Though he should have figured it out.
He should have been smarter, but he's Finn. Not a lot of callbacks to the series at large, just this season. Like, there are a lot of flashbacks, like when Tommy's in the plane and he's thinking about Polly, that's just from last season. And there aren't many other things. It's kind of the same problem I've been having. Maybe they just don't want to pay the actors for flashbacks or something. But, like, my goodness, they do not mention Grace except for through picture in his caravan. There is no John mention except for when Arthur is talking about how he's going to be all alone. And, like, there really isn't that much. Like, you could act like none of these people ever mattered at all. And so, I don't know. And it drags. It just, oh, Jesus Christ, it drags. I don't know. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Mine were making Finn an enemy. I thought that
was, yeah, that's stupid to me. Like, keep the family a little bit united. You're already killing Michael.
Yeah, Duke. The montages, again, I felt like I know that they do have good cinematography, but they need an editor. They need someone who tells them when to stop. Leaving the doctor alive, I think, is stupid. And Gina. I do have a prediction about the movie that, you know, like who the enemies are going to be and kind of where that's going to go. But what
great. Mosley's still alive. But yeah.
Yeah.
B.
I gave it a B minus, but you know.
I think it's probably a B minus.
Yeah. My prediction is that we've got Jack and Mosley still alive, Gene is still alive, and of course the Nazis. So there's
still... Yeah, it didn't feel like a complete season arc because no enemies were defeated. Mosley is at the season villain. Michael's dead, but he was just a pawn for the others. So it doesn't really matter that much. If it was just Michael alone, that would be one thing. But like, no, it's not. It's literally everyone else around him who were just using him. Yeah. So, well, the IRA lady is dead, but she was also just kind of working with the others. So Mosley is the longest reigning villain at this point, which is disappointing because he has not gotten any development as a character other than the fact that he's a creepy Nazi dude. And honestly, that's enough for a Nazi. Yeah. But we shouldn't really give them too many sympathetic traits at all because Jesus Christ. But I don't know. It's going to be a boring... They're probably going to emphasize Gina as a girl boss who's like, oh, well, I was just using my husband as a pawn. We already knew that, but like, fine. I don't care. I really don't. She's a bitch.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they're going to try to sell us on Peaky Blinders, the movie. They've had some cast announcements that are kind of interesting.
I haven't really seen too many
cast. Actually, I've forgotten some, and I'm going to look that up for just a second. Do you want to talk about seasons and how you rank them?
Gee, I wonder what this is going to look like. So,
number one is number one.
Yeah, season one is going from best to worst. It's season one, season two, season four, season three. Sorry, season. Okay, let me think. No, I know what it is. Sorry. Best to worst. Season one, season two, season four, season five, season three, season six. Season six is the worst season, in my opinion. It is the most boring. And at least season three, as batshit insane as it is, at least it was interesting, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it had action. It was a bit tighter. And I think that, you know, despite
loose bag of leaves in the wind, I think, tighter. So, whatever. I don't know what that metaphor was, but it's
So
what would you say is your ranking for seasons?
Season one, season two, season four, season five, season three, season six.
Yeah, so we have the same one.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this Peaky Blinders movie cast, and the article, that the first thing that popped up, and this is disturbing, has Tim Roth in it added. Murphy, you know, Cillian Murphy, Rebecca Ferguson, Barry
Keoghan.
Keoghan. It doesn't have Paul Anderson listed.
Wow.
I'm not happy about that.
Whatever, Mom. Whatever. We can always just say we don't want to watch the movie.
True. Oh, and by the way, while we are here, because it happened this week, R.I.P. Maggie Smith.
R.I.P. Maggie Smith.
We love you.
She has been 82 for the past 17 years, but we love you anyway. She has looked like that since the 90s, and God bless her for it. Honestly, I had no idea how old she was at any point in time.
She was 89, so.
I know. But almost 90, almost got there, girl. But yeah. Damn.
Wow, fabulous. Oh,
it's so sad. But yeah,
it's so sad. And so
she'd also been through so much, like with her health and stuff like that. Yeah. Like it's insane. She was such a strong woman and icon. What an icon. We love her so much.
Yeah. I mean, you particularly, cause you're of the generation that throws this word around too much, the word icon.
She is an icon.
She is in fact an icon. So yeah.
I'll throw it around as much as I want with Dame Maggie Smith in the chat.
And I'm not going to argue with you about Dame Maggie Smith either. Or Judi Dench, for that matter.
There you go. So,
yeah. Or Ian McKellen. Or, you know.
Anyway. Right, we're not going to name every sir and dame. So let's...
We're not, because not all of them are icons, but they are. Sure. Okay. But in any case, it is very sad, and we mourn her passing. At least she is memorialized, and we will... You revisit Downton Abbey and whatever else at some point too,
or do like the movies or something, because that first movie fucked me.
Yeah,
that the ending of it, yeah, the ending of that first movie, like, we were boohoo crying in the theater.
Yeah.
It was an empty theater, too.
Yeah, so the third movie is coming out pretty soon, so I'm interested to see what they do, if anything. But anyway, so we are looking forward to season 4 of Umbrella Academy. We are going to share it with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.